announced publicly in Parliament a few months ago that she and her female partner were in the process of having a child. And congratulations flowed on the floor of the Australian Parliament. For the first time in the history of this country, we have an unmarried female Prime Minister living with her partner in the lodge. Actually, they've just been kicked out because the lodge is falling down and they've got to fix it up. But this is what is happening in our nation. Yesterday, I saw the new female talk show host of America. Have any of you seen her? A white lady this time. They're virtually saying she has replaced Oprah. And of course, we were into the conversation about 2 minutes and it turns out she's a lesbian. And the whole of America is adoring this woman. How many of you watch The Block on Channel 9? I actually don't watch it, but it is a show where they build whatnot and they have couples involved. They can't have one session of The Block without having a gay couple involved. And even you and me, who are Christians and who understand God's word, are being conditioned every minute of every day through the news media, through the television, that this lifestyle is okay. The nuclear family, the traditional family, is under attack. And so for the next few weeks leading up to Christmas, I want us together to turn to the scriptures and see what the Bible has to say about the family. Because we turn to the Bible and we discover right in the book of Genesis that in fact the family was God's idea. God designed male and female. And in Genesis we read these words, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him, and for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his, not partner, united to his wife,' it says here in the Bible." So again, let me say, it's clear from the scriptures that the family is God's idea. He thought it up. So I want to say categorically to you this morning that the natural family, the nuclear family, is not finished. It might be very fragile in our nation at this point in time, but it's not finished. Now there's a whole bunch of singles here this morning. And whenever I speak on the subject of family and children and all of that stuff, I'm very, very conscious of those of you who are single. And so I want to say to you right from the beginning of this series, don't stay away, because I'm going to have things that will be relevant for you, because whether you are married or single, the Bible actually says it's not good for you to be alone. I believe that all of us were made for relationships. Human beings were designed by God for relationships because we are made in God's image, the Bible tells us. And God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, enjoying an eternal and beautiful, unsullied relationship. And God has made us in His image. And so we are made for relationships. And so whether you are married or not, you need companionship. You need friendship. All of us need other people to relate to. In fact, we were in Senegal two and a half years ago, and we were on Gori Island just off Dakar, where millions and millions of black people were sent as slaves over a 300 period. And we were in a Spanish slave house. And the rich Spanish slave people lived upstairs and all the black people lived downstairs, and the women and the men were segregated, the children were put on one side. And as we walked through this place, we came across a little sign that said, "Recalcitrant." And inside was just a little black hole. And that was where they put the recalcitrants, the people that played up. And they put them in there for 2 or 3 weeks in solitary confinement. It's the worst punishment that any human being can have, to be separated from other human beings. In fact, while we were standing there and feeling the pathos in our hearts, they told us the story that just 2 or 3 years before that, Nelson Mandela had visited Senegal. And he'd come out to Gori Island. And they brought him to the very spot where we were standing. And he read, recalcitrant. And this man, dressed in a suit with all of the press, got down on his knees and crawled inside that hole, that black hole, and he didn't come out for 15 minutes. And when he came out, the press had their cameras on him and there were tears running down his face. Here was a man, of course, who'd been put on Robben Island in South Africa for 28 years. And he knew a little bit about solitary confinement and being separated from other human beings. Well, let's move on. Let's turn to the scriptures and see what the Bible says about God's purpose for the family. And this morning we're just going to talk about four of those purposes. The first thing I want to say is that the family is meant to be a place of safety from life's cyclones. Now, the Weather Bureau has forecast that we're going to have just a little bit more than the average number of cyclones this year. And if the weather in the last 10 days, I believe that the official storm season started on the 10th of October. And since the 10th of October, I have recorded 112 millimetres of rain in my garden, much more than this time last year. In fact, our wedding anniversary was on Friday. Well, I know when I was married. I don't know whether she knows or not, but it was the 14th of October 1968, so that's 43 years. I've been married to the same woman. And I checked on the little records that I keep of all the rain, and on the 14th of October last year, we'd had 981 millimetres of rain in our garden, and this year exactly the same. But you know that when I looked forward to the 31st of December last year, we'd had 1,587 millimetres. Almost double. So folks, hang on. It's going to get much wetter yet. But cyclones. The cyclones are coming. See, the family is not meant to be just a place for bed and breakfast. The family was designed by God to be a place of refuge, a place of retreat, a place where we could go and just chill out from the toughness of life, because life is really messy. I don't know whether you've noticed, but life is tough. And I believe that life is getting tougher. And every one of you and I, we need a place of protection, a place where we can go and feel safe from life's troubles. In Proverbs 14 it says, reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. You might take your pencil and just put a circle around those words, refuge and security. Because the Bible says that the family is meant to be a place of refuge and security. Now, there are many types of cyclones in life. Not just the ones that come belting in from the Coral Sea to hit Townsville or Cairns or those places, but there are other cyclones in life. We face emotional cyclones. And some of you may be in an emotional cyclone right now. We face physical cyclones. We can go along in life and be physically fine, and one day, overnight, our whole life can change when the doctor tells us we have cancer, or we fall over and smash our leg or something. We just don't know. But many people are facing physical cyclones in their lives. Tragically, as I've indicated at the beginning of this message, many families today are facing relational cyclones. I mean, I've talked to many of you, and many of you really suffer in your place of work. It only takes one person who doesn't like you. And they get stuck into you in all sorts of ways and in the workplace. And that's really tough when you have to go back to that place of work every day and face that same person. My sister is single. She's only a little younger than me. And for the first time in her life, she's in her 60s. She's working in a school and she's had to go through mediation because of one woman who has made her life not just miserable, but made her life hell over the last 2 years. Now, thank God, things are sorting out. But I know that many of you face relational cyclones, even in your place of work. How many people have been through financial cyclones in the last 2 years? I mean, I've got neighbours who've had to go back to work. They already retired, but the global financial crisis saw their superannuation virtually disappear, and people are facing financial cyclones. The Bible says, reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. Now, I've already read that. Let me just talk about three cyclones that affect every one of us. I think one of the hardest cyclones that all of us are facing in our society is the cyclone of change. I mean, as a leader in the church, as a leader of an international organisation that is training emerging leaders in the developing world, we try and make our plans for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. You try and make plans for 5 years these days, you just forget it. Because change is so dramatic and so rapid in our world that we can't plan ahead. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. This isn't original. I just pulled this off the internet. When I was at school, there were 9 planets in the solar system. Today, there are 8. A few years ago, BlackBerry was a fruit, and so was Apple. To load up a program, you'd have to slam in a cassette tape and wait 20 minutes. Remember that? You had to dial into the internet. A single gigabyte hard drive simply couldn't be filled. It didn't matter how hard you tried, you couldn't fill it. Remember those old things called videotapes about the size of a Thompson Chain Reference Bible that you'd slam into your video recorder to record something from your television, and it would take about an hour and a half? Remember that? There was only one computer in our house, and most houses 10 years ago. And back then, only one of them could be on the internet at the same time. There was no such thing as a flat television screen. And Twitter, we actually called that text messaging. And when it first started, it could only go to one person at a time. That was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And look at the change that has occurred. A lot of things can happen in 10 years, and I've only just indicated a few of them. But change brings inevitable stress on all of us. And therefore we need a place of stability to go to be safe from the cyclone of change, because it's just bearing down on us continuously. Another cyclone that affects many of us is failure. Now, I'm not sure what's going through your mind as I just was silent there for a moment. But I can think back through my life and there are all sorts of areas of failure. I mean, the fact is that we all make mistakes. We lose jobs. We get passed over for promotion at work. If you're like me, you've probably made some very unwise financial decisions in your lifetime. Sometimes we choose to hang out with the wrong people. and we end up suffering the consequences. I've discovered in these 43 years of marriage that when I fail, it's wonderful to have someone who'll give me a hug. And he'll just stand beside me and say, I believe in you no matter what mistakes you've made. It's wonderful to have someone who can put their arms around you and say, we'll get through this together. Another cyclone that I think is probably one of the toughest, and I don't think there's anyone in this room who's not suffered from this cyclone, which I've called rejection. It's probably the toughest one. It's really hard to handle. Because you and I know that it hurts in here when we're criticised. It hurts when we're attacked. And for some of you, those attacks occurred even when you were a little kid. And you're still carrying the pain of those attacks around in your heart. As I've said earlier, life's really tough. In Ecclesiastes it says, one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back and conquer. And I want to suggest that when you're home, you should be safe. Now for you, mum and dads, next Sunday we're going to dedicate a whole bunch of children. And then again in November and in December. I want to suggest this morning that in order to make your home a place of safety, you really need to start hearing each other. Helen and I go all around the world teaching leadership skills, and one of them is the art of listening and asking the right questions. We don't only need to hear each other. Now listen to me very carefully, because I know I'm walking in very sensitive territory, because many of you here this morning come from an Asian background. And you've seen Helen and me, but I believe we don't only need to hear each other, we need to hug each other. Now for some of you, in your families, and we know this is true because many students have come to our home and told us that not once in their lives did their mum or dad ever hug them. If your mum or dad hugged you, I think you're very fortunate. And some of you who are older and who are parents, because you've been brought up this way, you find it difficult even to hug your own kids. Now this newer generation, that's probably not a big issue, but you know what I'm talking about. And I think this is a big area. We need to listen to each other. We need to hug each other. The reason I'm saying that is that we not only need to develop the skill of listening, but we need to develop the skill of emotional closeness. And many of us struggle in that area. We need to help each other. We need to learn to put the other person before ourselves. And this is a biblical principle, repeated over and over again throughout the New Testament. And I think we need to give hope to each other, to every member of our family. We need to learn to be encouragers. Now, on your sheet there, I've got a little scale. Is there a scale of 1 to 10? Just take a minute and rate your own family. Now, if you're here single, think of your own family situation. But just, and you husbands and wives, don't peep at the moment. You rate your family, and when you get home, I encourage you to pull it out and have a talk about it together as husband and wife. Okay? Off you go. Just have a think about it. Perhaps don't think about it too much. Just do it. The second purpose that God has for the family is that the family is a place where we learn about life. In the family, God's idea is that this is where we learn the basic skills of life. We learn how to talk, We learn how to walk. We learn how to eat. We learn how to relate to each other. We learn how to use iPads and things like that. God wants our family to be a learning centre. Psalm 144, verse 12. May our sons in their youth be like plants that grow up strong. So the Bible has this analogy of a garden. The Bible talks about the family being a garden. What sort of a garden? Well, it's a garden for growing people. It's where a family grows. Ephesians says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So you fathers, get your pencils out and put a circle around training and instruction in that verse. Now, I did speak on this subject about discipline of children sometime last year. And I had a very healthy response to that, actually. And part of the business of learning and training in the family is for you parents to know which end of the child to pat and at what time. Sometimes you need to pat them on the head to encourage them, and sometimes you need to pat them on the other end. Now, that's a pretty controversial thing to say publicly, because, you know, you don't use the strap these days, and kids can take their parents to court and all of those things. But I'd encourage you to have a look at the book of Proverbs and see what the book of Proverbs actually has to say about child discipline. And so, as I say, part of learning is to understand the dynamics of child discipline. You want to take your kids through three stages. You want them to move from parent control to self-control, and finally they're going to come under God's control. And hopefully during that process they're coming under God's control all the way. But let me tell you, if they don't learn the difference between coming out of your control to under their own control, if they don't learn that, they will never learn to come under God's authority and under God's control. So that's why I say again to you parents that this issue of discipline is critical. It's not just so that your kids will leave home and begin to act on the values that you've taught them, but they will actually learn to relate to the living God. So the whole issue of child discipline in the Scriptures is so intimately tied up with how ultimately those children of yours are going to relate to their Heavenly Father. And that we could spend a lot of time talking about that. So we learn about life in the family. In Luke it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favour with God and with man. You grow and you develop. Jesus grew in wisdom, so he grew intellectually. He grew in stature. I don't know how tall. How tall was Jesus, do you reckon? 5'6"? See, if you look at some of the pictures on the walls of some homes, he's a great big tall blonde. He was a Jew. He probably had very brown eyes and olive skin. He grew in stature, so he had physical development. He grew in favour with God, so that means that he grew spiritually. And he grew in favour with men, so he grew socially. So you want to help your parents, your children, you parents want to help your children to grow in all of those areas so that they have a balanced life. One generation makes known your faithfulness to the next. I'd encourage you to think of your family as a relay race. You've got four runners, they've got a baton, and the kids are there following you. You're holding out the baton, and they've got to run and actually keep up with you, and eventually they take hold of that baton, and you stand back and you watch them run ahead. And I can see John and Lucy smiling and saying, yes, our daughter's gone. She's gone. She's got engaged. She's got a good job. and they've done a lovely job, and they've seen her go. Thank you, Ken. The third purpose for the family is a place to relax and have fun. Just have a look at this video clip and see if your family is a bit like this, a place to relax and have fun.
Admiring my flag, I see. Belonged to the last flagship, the Austrian Naval Service. That was quite a time. I'm Captain Trapp. And you are Fräulein...
Maria. Yes, these clothes aren't mine, you see. Sorry, mine were given away, you see, in the rush. I brought another dress to work in, though.
Yes? It's all right. Really, we'll make you something.
Thank you.
Ah, yes, Fräulein Maria. I'd better bring the children down.
Yes, please.
These are my children. And this is Fräulein Maria, who will be in command here from now on. This is Rupert. Werner. Agatha. Hedwig. Maria. Rosemary. And Martina.
Thank you.
Oh, and this is Frau Matilda, who is in charge of the house.
Fräulein Maria.
Upstairs to change. It's dinner time.
Yes, Father. Come with me. I'll show you to your room. Come along.
A place to relax and have fun. Ecclesiastes says, by the way, that was a 1956 version of Sound of Music. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Enjoy life. And then Proverbs 15, be happy with your wife and find your joy with the girl you married. You know, I've been in homes. As the president of the CMA for 13 years, I stayed in a lot of homes. And I'm sorry to say, a lot of Christian homes. And it probably wasn't quite as bad as this, but honestly, there are times when I felt like saying, especially to the father of the home, lighten up a bit, mate. Just lighten up. And now, I realise that raising children is an awesome responsibility. But I think some parents get so worried about making mistakes, and especially Christian parents who have all these wonderful values from the Bible, and we've got to instill these things in our kids, and father ends up becoming like a sergeant major. And the family is not a place to relax and have fun. And as I've shared these two scriptures with you, I really believe that God wants the family to be a place, not just of learning, but to a place where we have fun and where we can relax. This is tough for some people. And I think, seriously, if your family, if your home doesn't have a reputation with your children of being a place to have fun, the scary thing is, they'll go outside the family to find their fun. And they might find fun with a group of people that you wouldn't approve of. And I can tell you this from personal experience, and it's not fun. We have fun these days with our granddaughters on Skype. And we spend hours with Molly and Brianna and Amelia and now little Liam. And Amelia, some of you remember her, she's a two-year-old. She is the biggest character. So we have a lot of fun. So she comes on, and as soon as she sees Papa, the first thing she does is go, and we have fun. Hello. Would you like to say something to everybody?
No.
I thank God that my mum and dad, my father had a value that every year, without fail, all during our growing up years, he took us on a family holiday. And again, some of you come from cultures where work is number one, and a holiday is sort of being, I don't know, sometimes we get the idea that having a holiday is being slack. Let me tell you, if I hadn't had the last 2 weeks break, I'd be just about dead. And I'm feeling so good after a bit of a break. But not just that. I think for children, I mean, our children still talk so often about the different holidays that we had. And it's not just having a holiday, it's creating memories within your family so they can, you can talk about these things for the rest of your lives. And if, I know it's not easy these days because of finances, but if you want a cheap holiday, come and talk to Marilyn. She is the world's expert at getting cheap holidays through Scoopons and Groupons and all sorts of things. And she put me onto it, and we've just had a really cheap holiday at a classy place. But it's worth saving up. We were with a couple on this particular holiday last week. They're very close friends of ours. So the four of us had a lovely time. Their kids are grown up and gone, and so are ours. And the husband was telling me, they were joking about, you know, when we went out to the restaurant and he had some change and he had $2 and $1, and she said, oh, put that in your pocket, that's for the tin. And I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, I go down to the you know, the Crazy Clarks, and I buy one of those big tins that you can't open. It's just got a slot at the top. So he said, every year I put, every night religiously, I put my gold coins in that tin. And at the end of the year, he gets out a tin opener and he opens the tin and he said, sometimes I have $1,000. $800. And he said, I use that for our Christmas holidays. I said, well, you're a smart guy. And he's done that deliberately, and he's taken his children away every year and created beautiful memories with the children. So if you're against the idea or you feel you can't afford it, I really challenge you to say, make time. I mean, work gives you a month off. They have to here in Australia. So don't just hang around home. If you can get away with the kids, do it. Psalm 127. Children are a gift from God. They are his reward. Children are like sharp arrows. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. I have no intention of defining quiver this morning. I think you can work that out yourselves with the Lord. I'm just here to dedicate them when they arrive, okay? And we're going to do that next Sunday. And again in November. Finally, the family is a launch pad for ministry. The family is a place where you can learn to minister, get together in a team. I really believe if you want a strong family, you include your children in your ministry. And this is not easy. Some people like to separate ministry from the family. And I hope, Omar, you don't mind me saying this. But about sometime last year when we had a working bee, I arrived here and they pulled up at the same time, and then Aaron climbed out of the car, and Omar went to the back of the car and he pulled out a little wheelbarrow about this big. And that day, as we were doing the car park, Aaron worked with me and he was having a ball, and he was wheeling this little wheelbarrow with his stones. And Omar, that was a great thing to do. And I believe you've set an example for every parent in this room. Because next time we have a working bee, I want to challenge you dads who've got little boys and girls, mums, bring your little kids to the working bee and give them a rag and say, you clean that window or you clean that door. I can remember my parents taking me to the working bees at the church, and this is the way we do things together. And you will begin to instill values in them that are going to live with them for the rest of their lives. Now, of course, for some of you, that's going to be tough because you haven't come to the working bees yourself yet. So this might be a really good opportunity to start to get involved. Please don't take that as a criticism, but I think this we are offering wonderful opportunities for families to work together here at Southside. In 1 Corinthians it says, Stephanas and his family were the first to become Christians in Greece, and they are spending their lives helping and serving Christians everywhere. Stephanas and his family are helping serve Christians everywhere. So if you want to build a strong family, if you want to get them to get to know the Lord, then involve them in ministry. The whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. I believe the greatest gift that you can give to your kids is a godly mum and a godly dad. That's the most important thing. When God's children are in need, help them out and get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Romans 12:13. What an opportunity we have here at Southside with all of the students who come to exercise hospitality. This was standard procedure in the home that I was brought up in. My father had the gift of giving, my mother had the gift of hospitality, and between those two gifts, I honestly, when I woke up most mornings, I didn't know who'd be in the spare room. Because Dad would have dragged someone home in the middle of the night, some poor... He was a chemist, so everyone ended up at the chemist shop. And if they were in trouble, no problem, you know, the car had broken down, come and stay at our place tonight. And Mum would be up early and get breakfast for them. But it was just a way of life for us. And if you can open your home, you're going to expose your children to good people, to wonderful people. And if you're single here this morning, I've been talking about families, but if you're single, I want to encourage you that Southside can be your family. And I hope that this is a place of safety. I hope this is a place where we can have fun together. I hope this is a place where we can learn the things of God together. And as a single person, you know, you can think of your own family, your own mum and dad, your brothers and sisters. How can you serve them? How can you pray for them? If you're here and you're single, what about all the young couples here with children? Maybe those of you who are single could say, hey, could we come over and mind your kids one night so you can go out and have a date? Russell is open to all helpers and volunteers. He'll stand at the door. But honestly, one of the great blessings in our lives when our children were little was to have singles in the church just come over to our house and play with our kids. What a wonderful ministry. Have you single guys ever thought of that? I know Adrian does this. Adrian's got a beautiful relationship with some of the families here and just relates to the kids. And I know that the mums and dads appreciate that immensely. So young people, don't just think that we're talking about families, mums and dads and kids. You're involved too. Okay? We'd love them at MOPS. You could serve at MOPS and look after children on Wednesdays. Okay. I think it's time to pray. Let's bow our heads. Just for a minute as we close, let me ask you, as we bow before our Heavenly Father, what kind of a shelter is your family? Does your home really offer protection for every member of the family? Maybe we need to pray this morning. Oh God, please help us to offer an ear to each other. Please help us, Lord, to offer hugs to each other, to help each other. Is your place, your home, really a place of learning? So often we unintentionally teach our kids stuff. I wonder if you asked, or if I came to your home and I asked your children what was important to you, what would they tell me? Are we really developing their character? Is your family a place for fun? Let me just remind you as we close that you've only got your kids for a little bit of time. Helen and I can hardly believe that our kids are all gone and now we have grandchildren. It's all happened so quickly. Are you really praying for the salvation of every member of your family? That they'd know the joy of knowing Jesus? Maybe this morning we need to be praying, God, would you please use our house and our home for good and for your kingdom? As I've already said, the greatest gift we can give our children is godly parents. Which means that we need to be walking with the Lord. Maybe this morning you're here and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why don't you just open your heart to Jesus this morning? Just quietly pray something like this. Jesus, I've known about you. But now I want to know you personally. Please come into my life and change me this morning. Please turn me into the type of person you want me to be. I really want to follow your plan for my life. Please give me the power to be the person that you created me to be. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.